Today's episode of the Wretched Hive podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Welcome to the Wretched Hive podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
George Lucas is building a museum, and it's coming to California. At least that's the rumor. Oh, and Ben Affleck had a few beverages and talked about Star Wars on an interview. And we've got all of that news and more in this episode of The Wretched Hive, episode 14 for Friday, July 8th, 2016.
And is this a milestone? Can we celebrate every episode? Every time we accomplish a new one?
Yeah, for sure. What do you want to call this one? What's the award we're going to give ourselves for?
The one where we all get drunk.
I thought that was the last one.
Oh, damn it.
I think that was episode one, and we've carried forward since then. But
I think the milestone would be the one where we don't get drunk during the episode, though. That would be the milestone, so maybe we should save that.
Crickets.
Well, as you've heard, the rest of the Wretched Hive is with me, and let me introduce them to you. First off, we have my hairy co-pilot and yours, Greg Lent.
I prefer the term hirsute, my friend. Hirsute is the term you should go with. Hello, Steve. Hello, listeners of the Wretched Hive. Thank you for joining us for another week.
Thank you. And we also have, along with Greg and I, we've got lifelong Star Wars fan, Scott Ivanski.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you, everyone. Greg, Dave, Nico, it's good to be here. Thank you to the fans who are listening. Let's get this thing rolling.
That's right. Let's get it rolling. And as you mentioned, we have Nico with us. That would be the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
Aye, aye. All hands on deck.
Deck.
And phrasing. All hands on fish decks.
Phrasing. Phrasing.
And phrasing. We would like to welcome back, after a long absence. It's been a month. It's been a whole month since you've been gone from the show.
I know.
Since you've been gone, yeah.
We have Dave. Do not ever call him Harry Potter.
Thank you, thank you. And just want to say to my fellow wretched Hivians, fantastic job last week. It was an interesting but enjoyable experience to listen to the podcast as a fan, not a participant.
And we also learned the proper recipe for Adobe.
Yes.
And we also learned that you are the provider of factual information on the show rather than rumor and innuendo.
I was going to say that.
Yes.
The factual information is usually the stuff I make up, so this is all great.
Well, holy shit, there was a big gaping hole where your presence was missed, so
absolutely.
I'm glad you're here to fill my gaping hole.
Just like last weekend, Greg.
Welcome to the Wretched Hive After Dark once again. It only took 4.5 minutes this time, so that's a new record.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know either.
What do you mean?
Well, if you want to tell us about how to fill a gaping hole, you can connect with us on Facebook. That's facebook.com.
No, please call us with that one.
Wait a minute. Are we recording? Is this on? Okay. facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. Or you can leave us a voicemail at our Wretched Hive hotline. That's 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. Leave us a voicemail, and it very likely will get played on the air. So give us
I
a
am
buzz.
Not calling the phone right now. Just so well, I am not calling.
You're not doing it this time?
I'm not taking any more calls from Mr. Bond or any of your other characters, sir.
I've only got like two, so and neither of them are very good. All right. So
instead of entertaining one of your ridiculous fake celebrity phone calls, why don't we just talk about the news?
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, I am super excited about this first one. This is many outlets reporting this week that George Lucas is building a museum. He was planning to build it in Chicago. Actually, first wanted to build it in San Francisco. That didn't work out. So he tried for Chicago, and that didn't work out. So George is bringing the museum to California, going back to Cali. And it might just end up in our hometown here of beautiful Los Angeles, California. According to Reuters.com, filmmaker George Lucas is pulling his Star Wars Museum project out of Chicago in favor of a California location when he ran into challenges from an open spaces group in Chicago. So this is fantastic. The George Lucas Museum for the Narrative Arts, I believe, is the name, proposed name of this museum. And might end up in L.A., guys.
I think put right next to USC.
Right, yeah, definitely. He's a huge,
hey, that would make sense.
Huge benefactor for the USC Film School and, of course, a graduate of USC.
You know, that was fight my on. First thought, too. Yes, fight on for all of you USC fans out there. That was my first thought, too, was that it would end up someplace like USC. I mean, it's the natural fit, seeing as that is his alma mater, or someplace up in Northern California, which is where his heart has always seemed to lie. I mean, he's based Endor off of that. It's American Graffiti, all set out in Northern California. Lucasfilm, obviously, there. I guess his wife is from Chicago. Is that why he was settling on the Chicagoland area for that particular
project? Yeah, he's project? Married, he's married to Melody Hobson, who is, I believe she's a news anchor. She's got, she either anchors a program or is a contributor on NBC. And she was one of the main drivers of the project. Of course, Melody Hobson from Chicago. And they wanted to build the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art right there on the Chicago Lake Michigan waterfront. There's a string of museums in Soldier Field. It's a beautiful location. I'm really sad for the city of Chicago, but glad for LA, because I think this is going to be really exciting if you can get this done in Los Angeles. And anywhere in California would be good for us. Of course, it's a lot closer than Chicago, but having it in LA, I mean, I'd ride the train or drive past USC every day. So I would be thrilled to have it here and be able to broadcast from that museum. It'd be fantastic.
You know, knowing...
Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, knowing what he wanted to put into this, or hearing some of the, you know, tentative plans for what was going in here, I think, yeah, it should be a really neat museum. It's too bad for Chicago. It really is. I don't know how much time you guys have spent in Chicago, but I've been lucky enough to go several times for work in a past life, and it's such a great town, and it's really too bad. I the one thing I got out of the article was George Lucas's quote. Says no one benefits from continuing their meaning the people who blocked this whole project. No one benefits from continuing their seemingly unending litigation to protect a parking lot. So that's what they have there right now. That where he wanted to put this was a parking lot. And further reading, I guess it's a place where there is a lot of tailgating before Bears games. But I mean, you could have had this awesome addition to the city, and now you don't because you were jerks about it.
Yeah.
So
but hey,
I guess.
Hey, but hey, the Bears.
The Bears.
By a bunch. But yeah, it is a shame. I mean, this is something that's going to legitimately be a worldwide tourist attraction. It's going to draw people from all over the globe to come see it. And for Chicago to lose out on that, and I've been there too, Greg, great town, love Chicago, but your loss is our gain. And I think it's tremendously ironic that Lucas started Lucasfilm, you know, up in Northern California because he wanted to get away from Hollywood and the trappings of Los Angeles. And now he's been chased out of everywhere non-traditional that he wants to go to, and he's right back to the, you know, quote-unquote logical choice to put a museum by one of the great filmmakers of our time, Los Angeles. It's fantastic.
Hey, we get Star Wars Land and Star Wars Museum. Go California.
Well, and actually, that's one of the things about this museum that's interesting is it's not a Star Wars museum. It's a museum of the narrative art. So it's George Lucas has a huge collection of memorabilia, and I mean he is a movie fan and a fan of film and a fan of Hollywood and classic Hollywood. I think he owns, I want to say he owns like Charlie Chaplin's hat, and you know he's got all these different artifacts from Hollywood, and to be able to see them in that sort of a setting, which I'm sure is just going to be big and beautiful and architecturally wonderful, it's going to be great.
Dave, you mentioned that Lucasfilm and I get technically started up in Northern California. I'm going to go, it actually started down here in Southern California. It started in a warehouse in the valley when 20th Century Fox pretty much didn't have a special effects crew, and he kind of started the whole ILM thing and Lucasfilm right here. And I know he's from Northern California. What is it, Modesto area? Is that his place of origin?
That sounds right.
Yeah, just go with it. But I, as far as I remember reading, that was kind of the origin, was that warehouse where all the special effects were kind of being bastardized together and put together for the first Star Wars film, 1976. And then he needed a place to actually house all those guys, and then he started looking around up around the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with all that. I have read, and Lord knows that's always dangerous, that he, when it came time for him to pick where his base of operations was going to be going forward, and he finally now had the means to do so,
yeah,
that's why he fled the area. But yeah,
sure,
absolutely, that's a startup down here. Never would have happened if it tried to start up in Northern California, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to put it right there on the Embarcadero in San Francisco, right on the water, and couldn't make that happen because I think there's – I remember reading something about residents there didn't want it built or was going to block somebody's view or I don't know, something. And so he looked elsewhere. And anyway, I couldn't be more thrilled with this. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be a cultural landmark for the city of Los Angeles. And you know, it's in its rightful place. I'll go with you, Scott. You know, it started here. Let him put the museum here too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fantastic addition to the city, and I can't wait. Because you're right, Lucas does have a ton of movie knowledge, movie history, movie props and paraphernalia which should show up in this thing. So it should be a fun thing. Fun thing to take the kids to, family to, and even if you're just flat out a Star Wars fan, it's all there. It's all going to be there. So
that's right.
You know, speaking of being on the topic of museums, I did just some real, real preliminary looking at Rancho Obi-Wan, Steven Sand's Suites. I guess you would call it a museum of Star Wars memorabilia that's up in Northern California. And you can get tours, guided tours. You can get guided tours by Steven Sand's Suite himself. But they're like $75 a person. They're limited to like, I don't think it's more than like, say, 15 people per trip, and there's only a couple that he does per day. So I think if we ever get off of our asses and decide to do that Wretched Hive field trip, I think that would be a good location to look into.
So I am a benefactor of that museum at
Rancho Obi-Wan.
Yep I donated you know, they're it's actually the Guinness Book of World Records largest collection of Star Wars memorabilia. It's actually in the Guinness Book of World Records. And, you know, they were expanding, and I heard him on...
Wait, qualify for that?
What's that?
Qualify for the world record of Star Trek memorabilia?
Well, maybe Star Trek, but we're talking about Star Wars.
You are a piece of Star Trek memorabilia, Dave.
You're a red shirt to me, Dave.
Oh, that's just cruel. That's just cruel.
Well, last week when you weren't here, Greg threw the Avada Kedavra curse on your whole family. So, so calling you a red shirt really is kind of mild compared to that. I mean, but anyway, you were breaking up. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying I found it very odd that there's a Guinness Book of World Records for Star Wars paraphernalia, and Scott Ivanski, lifelong fan Scott Ivanski, does not hold it.
Apparently they haven't been down to my house here in Southern California.
I think Scott's garage is second place, actually.
Okay, that's fair. Sorry.
You know, Steven beat me out on a couple items, and that's it. He's got a little bit of a closer connection. I actually met him quite a few years ago now at one of the Comic-Cons,
yeah.
I believe it was. Super, super nice guy. Just friendly, got a nice little word in here and there, and then just took off, but would totally love to do that tour. I mean, he would like to do the tour of my place, actually. That's
I think he was the director of guest relations for Lucasfilm for like 15 years, and I met him at a con once as well. Super nice guy. Couldn't agree with you more, Scott. Really, really nice guy. Yeah. Signed my lanyard. I think he signed my lanyard from the show, but just a great guy. And I'm all in for that. Let's do it. That's a road trip I'm in for. Got to fly into Oakland and pop right over there.
I would totally do it. I mean, you guys know, obviously, from being over here, what a complete hoarder's mess my garage is, but it's basically 90% Star Wars stuff. And he put out one of the definitive, action figure archive books. It has everything you could possibly want to know about the history of the action figures from when Kenner was Kenner back in 1978 when the first figures came out with the early bird special kit or whatever it was, all the way up to the most recent ones, and just a fantastic job. Worked with a couple of the fan sites. I think one was rebelscum.com for the photo archives that they use. Just an amazing job. If you ever want to look it up, look for that book if you guys are into the action figure collecting phenomenon.
Yeah, no doubt. He's been a very prolific writer, and in particular, his books about collecting not just the figures, but all the different types of Star Wars memorabilia. It's good stuff. And I think, going back to what you said, Greg, I think you have to be a member or a benefactor, and then you can make a reservation. So when we're ready to do that, you want to take a roadie, take a weekend, fly up there, we can get JetBlue for probably $39-$49 or so.
Oh, you said it yourself, man. I'm doing a road
trip. I like it.
Let's do a road trip. We could make
Scott Ivanski does not fly.
This is just going to be like a scene out of National Lampoon's Animal House, isn't it?
Exactly. That's what we need to do.
Look, Flounder, you messed up. You trusted us.
I was going to say, going through California might end up more like Sideways, but who knows? Yeah,
that's true. It is very, very, very close to wine country up there, so you have to make a few side trips. Well, George Lucas and his museum, believe it or not, was not the only Star Wars news this week. Ben Affleck had an interesting interview about a week and a half ago. In fact, during this interview, in which he had, well, apparently, had a few beverages beforehand.
That's not accounted for yet. We don't know for a fact, do we?
I will let you decide when I play the audio here. This is Ben Affleck talking about, or maybe alluding to, the fact that maybe he turned down a director job.
Directed that Star Wars movie?
He would like to have taken.
Be able to say, I wouldn't be polite to talk about the jobs you turned down, but I did have a lot of, I had a lot of offers.
That's a good problem to have,
and,
though.
It is. It's also sort of, you know, forks in the road that are like legitimate different paths. You know, yeah. You think, well, boy, my life's going to be really different if I go down this way, or if I do Batman, or if I do this other iconic thing.
Or you could have just made kids movies.
Or I could just have movies where kids
directed the Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that video. Sorry about that, guys. But basically, he's saying, the interviewer says, did you turn down directing the latest Star Wars movie? And he says, well, I can't really don't feel comfortable sharing about opportunities that I turned down. I don't know. Can you imagine Ben Affleck directing a Star Wars film?
First of all, I got to say that it almost sounds like he just can't quite get out of Batman character rather than being drunk. So it's well, you know.
All right. Well,
I got a Kryptonite spear. I'm going to get you.
Is this the same interview where he went off about Tom Brady and the whole how he's calling it a, I think he was calling, he was saying it as a conspiracy by the NFL to set Tom Brady. Is this that same interview?
I believe so.
Yes.
I
think, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got. I don't know about drunk, but you know, he's had enough. Like, you know, let's be honest. By the end of this show, we're all loud and obnoxious too. So I think he's had enough to get to that loud and obnoxious point. So.
Some of us don't wait for the end of the show, Greg.
He's clearly having a few. He's tipping a few back. He is definitely not to the level the Hoff got to when he was looking for a hamburger on the floor of his hotel room. So,
woof.
Do not know what that is. Please go and Google it. It is the most entertaining thing you'll see.
Or the most disturbing.
Well,
he's a mess.
Well, whether he may have had a few drinks or not, who knows? But either way, he's saying, look, he's basically saying, look, I can't really talk about this, the fact that I may have turned down the Star Wars director's gig. I'm not really going to talk about that. So maybe he did. Maybe it was offered to him.
Well, you know, and let's go back and let's answer your question, actually, too, because you asked what would that be like for him directing Star Wars. What I've seen of his work, the serious work that he's done, I thought Argo was a good film. I liked Argo. I don't know what you guys thought, but I liked it. He did the other one, the one set in Boston, which is like every friggin' movie that he makes. And it's, but there was one with him and Jeremy Renner. I forget what the name, it's totally escaping me now, but I think that one was good too. But then he goes and makes Daredevil, which had so much potential, but was really subpar. The Batman movie, he was fine in it. There was a couple of really good moments in it, but he's super murdery Batman. He wasn't my favorite Batman by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't think this would have been the right vehicle for him to make it a great movie. Well, I think JJ was the better choice.
I'm going to jump in on that, Greg, because you're kind of muddling the two between Ben Affleck, the director, and Ben Affleck, the actor. And for the love of God and all the insanity, if you're using Daredevil as that jumping off point to compare, please don't do that. Don't do that. That is a horrible, horrible movie. But Ben Affleck, the director, he's got an incredible track record. Argo is a fantastic film. He also did The Town.
That's the one,
yes,
I was thinking
that's
of.
The one.
Town.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did Gone Baby Gone, which was also a highly rated or reviewed film, and also just a wonderful film. If you weren't into the whole, I just lost my place here. Sorry, I had a whole speech going on.
That was the one. Gone Baby Gone, or is it? That was one that came out just a couple years ago.
No.
But that's Gone Girl is the one I'm thinking of. That he just starred in that one too.
Oh,
that was
Gone Girl.
Yeah. He didn't direct that one, but Gone Baby Gone was another one of those crime thriller ones, probably set in Boston.
Oh, yes, I did see that. Yeah, that one was decent too. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
It was the other one set in Boston, Greg.
Yes.
And I'm gonna take a page out of Ben Affleck's book, and I'm not gonna talk about all the times I turned Jennifer Garner down. I'm just not gonna do it.
I missed wife snark.
Ex-wife snark, technically.
Oh, are they divorced now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Well, maybe you should call her up.
Nanny's
give her a buzz.
I don't think that would go over well on the home front at this point.
Sorry, Christine. Apologize for that.
whatever you do, don't get a nanny.
Well, you know, Ben wasn't the only one talking about Star Wars this week. and The Force Awakens. We also had an interesting interview that came to light that director James Cameron gave, sharing
his... Our number one listener, James Cameron?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. I'm amazed he hasn't called us.
Yeah.
He sent me a text. He said he's been kind of wrapped up writing some new movies. Sequels, I think he called them.
Oh. Oh,
okay.
It's a dirty word to use.
Is Avatar 2 done yet? Has he done filming that one yet?
No.
the most unenthusiastic no I've ever heard out of Scott.
Scott Ivansky reports.
I'm going with that unenthusiastic no because of the statements you're about to talk about, Steve.
All right, well, let's throw this out there. I'll let him speak for himself. This is James Cameron giving an interview, and he's asked the question by reporter Hannah Litchfield. What did he think about The Force Awakens? Check this out.
So, have you seen the new one?
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
Well, George Lucas is a friend of mine, and he and I were having a good conversation mm-hmm. the other day about it. I don't want to say too much about the film.
Yeah, definitely.
I also have a lot of respect for J.J. Abrams, yeah. and I want to see where they're taking it mm-hmm. next, you know, mm-hmm. see what they're doing with it. I have to say that I felt that George's group of six films had more innovative visual imagination,
mm-hmm.
and this film was more of a retrenchment to things you had seen before and characters you had seen before, and it took a few baby steps forward with new characters. So for me, the jury's out. I want to see where they go with it.
So is this James Cameron saying The Force Awakens was unoriginal, or
yes.
is this him saying George did a better job with his versions of Star Wars than JJ did?
Okay. I'm holding back so much.
Okay. Should we all get our comments in first before Scott jumps in here? Because I have a feeling Scott's going to go along. We need to call the network sponsors.
I sense a monologue coming.
Because the interview just kind of floors me just because I think to myself, because Terminator 2 broke so much new ground from the original
right.
and was not derivative in any way. Over to you, Mr. Lent.
Okay, so I'll throw out a couple of things before we go back to Scott here. The first one, you know, he really the comment that sticks out to me is he says visually it doesn't take it very far ahead. And I'm like, well, that's an interesting comment. So all you care about is that all you care about what you see on the screen? I don't see how you know, it not being visually stunning all of a sudden does not make it as good or not better than the first three movies, because he does lump in there kind of all six. And I don't want to harp on James Cameron. He's a legend and an icon for all of us, you know, nerds, you know, Terminator 2, Avatar, all that stuff, True Lies, The Abyss. I mean, he's really taking sci-fi cinema to new levels. But for him to call the story not very original, I find that's the one that really racks my brain, because when I watched Avatar, I could not help think Dances with Wolves through the entire movie. It is really, while it looks fantastic and so good, it is really the most unoriginal story I've ever seen on the screen. Ever. I mean, really.
It's Dances with Wolves meets Fern Gully, for God's sake.
Yeah, Fern Gully was the other one. Yeah.
Well, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm trying to make a drink here, and I can't find my scooper of unobtainium. Does anyone know where that's at?
Well, let me provide a counterpoint here, because I don't disagree with what you're saying. I mean, let's face it, JJ himself has said we wanted to get back to what makes Star Wars Star Wars. We wanted to get back to that original story. I mean, it's a story about a loner on a desert planet that seeks an adventure and ends up blowing up a big star base. I mean, it's essentially the same story as Episode 4. If you put them side by side, so I kind of I get what he's saying.
That's a valid criticism. That's a valid criticism. I find it funny coming from him, though.
Steve, the point is so well taken, and I want to just point out something that you just said and mentioned here. Did we just lose him?
No, we're here.
Went blank on me here.
I think Dave's video went out, but that's okay. His audio is good.
You have such a great point. If that was what he was trying to say, he could have said it so much better.
Yeah.
He said it in such a vague manner that it leads a lot of people to talk about it and discuss it in this way. So my initial reaction is, yeah, he thinks it sucks. He thinks it's not a good visually telling story. And the sad thing is look what happened to those three prequel movies. They were all about the visuals and lacked so much of the story. And I don't care if he's your friend or not. If he's your friend, you should have the balls to stand up and say, George, your movies look beautiful, but they don't tell a story. It sucks. Go get the writers that helped you write the good dialogue and the great continuity and everything else. Mm-hmm. That's what bugs me about that interview. That's what bugs me about James Cameron in this. I respect that guy so much for so many movies. I mean, my God, this is the man who did Piranha 2, The Spawning. One of my all-time favorite movies.
He made maggots act on command in that movie, and that is an underappreciated fact about James Cameron.
See, you know, Dave, you make a great point. James Cameron is one of those guys that I have discussed and talked about and argued about for years and years with friends over time. I mean, we have all talked about this guy because there's one thing about James Cameron that has done nothing but just blow my mind for 35 years. This guy will take a movie. People will tell him it's impossible to make, like Terminator. He'll do it, and then he'll go, now what can I do next, and how much bigger can I get next, and still tell a really damn good story. Yes, we have some issues with Avatar. I can get into that. And even Titanic, we have some issues with that as well. But the guy will sit there and go, well, if we're going to film a movie about Titanic and try and make it somewhat true to the original story, how can we make it as realistic as possible? Let's build the entire ship 90% of the original size and sink it. And he did that. And here's a guy sitting here in an interview and not taking a moment to respect, even though he does say something nice about JJ, he does not sit down and go, JJ had this vision and Disney had this vision to bring something back and bring everything back to what it was originally that we all found. You know, how many of us complained when the prequels came out that they sucked because it was all about the visual effects? There was no story. There was no character development. Even we all know where Darth Vader is going to go. We complained. And J.J. Abrams said, let's go back to how it was done originally. Let's create puppets and people in costumes, and let's build giant models and shrunk down models and use trick photography and then throw in some CGI to really enhance it a little bit. How we now are so used to films, but my God, I think JJ just, I don't know, he took the wrong medicine or something. That bugs me. That interview bugs me.
Yeah, I think I appreciate the fact that he did go back and he did use so many more practical effects in that movie than George did throughout the prequels. It does give it a kind of a retro feel, and I guess if that's fine if James Cameron or whoever else doesn't like that. You know, it's a valid criticism. But yeah, it really brought me back to that world, and I appreciate that about those movies. And I think that's a plus for me in that column. So
I echo that, and I think JJ, by using all the practical effects, took us back to that concept of it's a lived-in universe as opposed to a digitally painted universe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think his authenticity is the fact that he did something that was so familiar to us in a brand new way, felt authentic and great and old and lived in, just like Lucas envisioned in 1976 when he was filming the original. I think Cameron needs to do his Avatar sequels and make another $1 billion and just be happy.
When I talk to James later on tonight, I'll let him know he was wrong. Please. On behalf of all of us.
Please. Can you have him call in, too? It's been a while.
This is James Cameron, and
I just want to let all of you guys know that I'm really, really busy on Avatar 2. But this I will be sure to get back to you.
Thanks for sticking up for me. I really appreciate it. George is here too. But you know, he's not the only celebrity. We got lots of celebrities in the news. I just realized this in the rundown. We've got...
Can we do a whole episode on impressions?
A whole episode of really bad impressions?
Yes.
Can we throw in some CGI? Can we do impressions of CGI?
All of our impressions will be the greatest impressions ever done. There will be no impressions that will ever be done greater than the impressions done in this episode.
Do you have a really good brain?
I just want to say that. Oh my god.
This is gonna go downhill fast, I can tell. Well, another celebrity in the news talking about Star Wars is Samuel Jackson. That's right, Mace Windu himself in the news talking about, well, Mace Windu.
I would like to go on record that I called this when I was watching episode 3 in May of 2005. I called this, and here's Samuel L. Jackson now saying this 11 years later.
There's nothing to call. There's nothing that's happened yet, Scott.
Just like he called Chewbacca Mom's video. He called it. That's for sure going to fucking happen, guys. Oh, Chewbacca Mom is in Rogue One.
Oh, we've got some Chewbacca Mom news. Don't you worry. I don't want to disappoint Scott. So I every week I scour the internet for Chewbacca Mom news.
God damn you.
December next year. I just want you guys right now. December next year, Star Wars Episode 8 is going to be released in theaters. Right? I'm calling it right now.
No, that's not happening. Whoa. What are you crazy?
Oh, big words.
Well,
hold on. I wanted it for the record before you stated it. I said this.
Samuel Jackson saying on Entertainment Weekly Radio that he was asked, is Mace Windu alive? He says, of course he's alive. Of course he is. Jedi can fall from amazing distances, and there's a long history of one-handed Jedi, so why not? And he actually posted this video on Twitter to actually elaborate on that. So here we go. Check this out.
As in most Star Wars movies, it was George Lucas' idea to kill Mace Windu. He said he killed all these important characters and all these other movies leading up to that, and said the only person left to kill that would mean anything in Episode 3 would be me. I was trying to figure out, really? Can't you just, like, injure me and whatever? But in my mind, I'm not dead. Jedi's can fall incredibly high distances and not die.
So is this a guy begging for a role in a Star Wars movie or what? I mean, this guy wants to be in Star Wars.
Has he just been wandering the streets of Coruscant like Kane from Kung Fu since that happened? I mean, where has he been all this time?
Okay, I've got a plan and I've got a theory on this, so let's bust this out right now.
Throw it out.
He has been wandering like Kane from Kung Fu. What happened when everyone was getting slaughtered? Let's discuss this right now openly.
Hang on. Is he wandering like Kane from Kung Fu or like Jules from Pulp Fiction? I'm not sure which one is he wandering like. Exactly how is he wandering?
This is Star Wars meta shit right now. I'm telling you, it's getting deep, guys. All right, here's the deal. When Order 66 goes down, which happens right after basically Mace gets electrocuted and thrown out the window, everyone gets slaughtered except for Yoda and Obi-Wan. And what do? They go into hiding. They go scouring the universe and look for a little planet to hang out on and hide until the right time. So here's Mace.
And watch little boys.
Yeah. An out-of-the-way planet that Darth Vader has never heard of, like Tatooine.
So Mace stops down at his little health clinic, gets a little mechanical hand attached, and the next thing you know, he's wandering the universe. Wait, he's alive.
Did he go to like emergency care, like yeah, like the clinic down on the corner to get that hand thrown on?
Emperor Palpatine has a very, very generous healthcare plan.
He had Palpatine care.
And by the way, Dave, your comment about, you know, go to Tatooine, someplace that Darth Vader has never heard of. I've always wondered about that myself. Of all the places! It's like he will never look here.
Anyway. Well, he did say sand irritates him. He'll never go back.
Yeah. I have to say, I listened to the Star Wars radio play last week from 81 that Lucas participated in, and there's a bit in there at one point where Vader is talking about Tatooine and just the hatred that he expresses for that planet actually might actually be the best place in the galaxy to hide, because from those couple of lines, Vader's never going back there. He's not setting foot on that place again.
Well, the sad fact is he goes back in episode 3, so it doesn't matter.
Well, and in episode 4, he parks that Star Destroyer right next to the planet. He says, F that, I'm not stepping down on that piece of shit planet.
True.
Yes. True. Send a detachment. He's like, I'm not going down there.
Send your lackeys down there. Have you been around sand?
Let those sand a-holes kill their mothers. Jeez. I'm not going down there again.
All kidding aside, I would love it if we saw Mace Windu back in action, because yeah, there's no reason he couldn't have survived that fall. There's no reason he couldn't have survived the Force Lightning. He was the second most powerful Jedi in the galaxy at that point, behind Yoda. Yeah. I don't think there's any reason he couldn't have survived that fall. If he showed up, I think it would be an awesome surprise and really a way to connect the first trilogy, because there was no connection really with the first trilogy with the new trilogy, and I think that would be a great way to connect it all back, because it is part of the family. It may be the redheaded stepchild, but it is part of the family, and I think it would be cool to bring it back.
Yeah. Are you trying to say that Mace Windu is Rey's father?
I think everybody is Rey's father at this point.
Rey Windu is a pretty cool name, actually.
Rey Windu. Yeah. Hey, you know what? You brought up a great point, and this was one of the other things I was thinking of mentioning earlier, was he could survive that fall. There is a moment in Attack of the Clones where, to avoid the droids coming out of the arena, he's up on one of the upper decks of that thing, which is this huge crater-like arena. He jumps from that all the way to the center of the arena and lands perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't think there's an issue. I mean, other than the fact that he got his hand chopped off.
So did Luke.
Who hasn't?
And Luke survived the Emperor's lightning too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was in pretty good shape when he got flung out the window. You know, he had his wits about him, and he was, you know, screaming and just got his arm chopped off. But by Star Wars standards, that's nothing, right? I mean, and if you're talking about how tall those skyscrapers are there on Coruscant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he probably had 1,000 or so stories to think about what to do until he hit the ground. So I'm with you.
Here's another thing. Greg made a great point. He's the second most powerful Jedi in Attack of the Clones. You have Anakin, who is still Obi-Wan's Padawan at this point, jumps out of a moving speeder or a floating speeder and does a nosedive down one of those things and lands on top of another speeder, right? Isn't that what happens there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In episode 2, I mean, and we're on Coruscant too, so you got to think back to episode 2, Obi-Wan falls and Anakin catches him in a speeder. There's so many like low-flying speeders and crafts that are going around that Mace could have just, you know, hopped on, or, you know, at least force-pulled into the way to, you know, let him land and get out of danger. So, yeah, there's no reason that he couldn't have survived that fall. Yeah.
So there are too many opportunities for him to have lived, as opposed to us just believing he fell and was a bug splat somewhere.
Yeah. So is the Wretched Hive officially, are we now Mace Windu truthers? Is that where we're at?
I'm in.
Yes. Before I go on an Alex Jones-esque rant here, I'm just going to leave it and say yes, that we are.
I, I was going to say don't go on a rant like that, but you know what? Now I'm going to go on a rant like that.
Well, to save us from said rant, maybe this is a good time to talk about our sponsor, guys.
Yes.
Let's do it.
We have a sponsor. Now.
Yep. We have our first sponsor for the Wretched Hive podcast, audible.com. We couldn't be happier to have such a fantastic company and service like audible.com as a sponsor on the show. They are offering for you, the listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to try out their service. And all you need to do is go to audibletrial.com/hive. It's H-I-V-E. And you can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial. And
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that even if you cancel the subscription after 30 days, you still get to keep the book.
You are absolutely right. You keep the book, shake hands, and say thank you very much. But I think if you try the service, you're going to want to keep going with it because it's a great service, and actually there's quite a few Star Wars books.
There's a plethora of Star Wars books.
Yep. And the Audible book experience is really, really interesting. It's not just someone reading the book to you. My favorites are the ones that throw in the sound effects and the music and either read very dramatically. And actually, I pulled up a sample here. This is, again, audibletrial.com/hive. You can check out this book that I listened to last year. It's called Star Wars Kenobi by John Jackson Miller. Narrated by Jonathan Davis, who is just fantastic. So I just have a little bit of a sample here. This is Jonathan Davis narrating John Jackson Miller's Star Wars Kenobi.
The bartender was clearly an idiot.
What would...
The bartender started to ask. Never mind, he said instead. He reached for a bottle and refilled the old farmer's glass.
I'm going to stop talking to you now. Drink up.
Ulbrich did exactly that. To Ulbrich's mind, there was one thing wrong with the galaxy. People. People and droids. Well, those were two things. But then again, wasn't it wrong to limit what was wrong with the galaxy to just one thing?
So that's just a little sample, but you can hear, you know, you got the background noise of the bar. You've got the sound effects. It's just a really neat, immersive experience. And so check it out. It's audibletrial.com/hive for your free audiobook download.
That's fantastic. I'm super happy we have Audible as a sponsor. They're a great service, like you say. But I was just a tad bit disappointed when you said that Jonathan Davis was narrating, that it was not Jonathan Davis from Korn.
Well, you know, I've never seen Jonathan Davis from Korn and Jonathan Davis, the narrator, together in the same room. So
there you go.
Okay.
Could be.
Feeling like a freak on a leash. Feeling like I got no release.
All right.
That's my ringtone for you, right?
All right, we have some news from a certain movie that's coming out this December.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
Resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance. Request one round elimination.
ASAP. Roger, stand one round elimination. Stand by.
Well, Entertainment Weekly has become the source for Star Wars news in the print media, similarly to the way that we are the source of Star Wars news in the podcast realm. And
number one.
That's right. Oh, by the way, did I mention that we are in an international show now, guys?
Yeah.
Yes. We got some downloads in the UK. We got at least one from Canada. So I'm calling us international. That's it.
Hold on.
It's because they hear Sean Connery calls the program, guys. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, we have one Canadian listener. Is that Justin Trudeau?
It's Justin Bieber, actually.
Oh, damn it.
The Canadian we want.
The other Justin. But we've got Entertainment Weekly. It's just been on fire with this Rogue One news. And there's a great article actually covered by The Guardian, theguardian.com. And they covered six things we learned about the Star Wars spinoff from Entertainment Weekly Special Edition. And this is a great article. You should check it out. So I thought we'd run these down. Number one, confirmed James Earl Jones will return to voice the Man in Black, Darth Vader. Something we've talked about quite a bit already on the show.
So real quick, yep. So great, James Earl Jones is back. Love him. It's fantastic. Super happy. Along those lines, I've gone back and I rewatched, because it's been a while, I rewatched season one of Rebels. And if you guys haven't watched it yet, go back and watch it. Really good. Each episode is only like 22 minutes long. It's only like, I think, 11 or 12 episodes for the first season. So you can watch it in an afternoon. Really good. I'm excited about diving into season two now and catching that before season three starts. Because season one, really good. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Does Vader make an appearance in season one or is it season two?
Season two, and it is James Earl Jones doing the voice in Rebels for season two.
I thought I'd tie that in there. Thank you, Greg.
There's a big confrontation at the end of season two, I think, with Vader and Ahsoka, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to watch Rebels.
Oh, it's so good. You'll definitely
it's good.
Enjoy
it's really
it.
Good.
I will never.
So something else
damn
we learned.
Dirty Rebel scum.
So we also learned that Vader will be apparently be holding Ben Mendelsohn's leash, is the way that The Guardian puts it. Who is Ben Mendelsohn, of course, the actor playing Director Krennic in Rogue One, who will be reporting to Darth Vader on the Imperial hierarchy there and vying for his attention. We've also learned, according to The Guardian, that Jen Erso's backstory has been swiped from Suicide Squad. Thought that take was kind of funny. Yep. And let's see. The Force Awakens style Demi Jedis are back. It's a rather ominous looking picture of Chirrut Imwe.
That's Danny Yee's character, right?
Yeah.
The Force sensitive blind monk master warrior.
Exactly.
It just sounds like a Mad Libs mashup.
How is what's the main character?
Jen Erso.
Erso. What is that referencing? Her backstory was stolen from Suicide Squad.
So yeah, she's a bad guy, and they say, "Hey, if you go do this crazy thing, we'll pardon you from being a bad guy."
That's interesting. From what I gathered from the earlier reports, she seemed to be kind of playing both sides of it. So I guess I could see how she's just a general bad guy. But I don't know. I'm going to go on the record, guys, that that director thing still isn't sitting right with me. So I'm going to just keep calling him Grand Admiral until they can.
Grand Admiral. You gave him a promotion, huh?
I did.
I'll call him director.
All right, Dave.
I have to move on.
And from the way that you guys are describing him, or Steve was describing him, it sounds like he's a little wuss. He's vying for Vader's attention, and he's on a leash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, screams he's little girl.
He's definitely not more than a key grip. He's certainly not a director.
A producer, if maybe.
If he's on a leash, he's more of a gimp, isn't he?
Notice me, senpai.
Bring out the director.
Can we get in on this episode?
Well, this article contrasts his character to Tarkin, who, of course, appeared to be holding Vader's leash, especially if you believe Princess Leia there in the beginning of Episode 4. But Tarkin was the man in charge there on the Death Star, where versus Krennic seems to be maybe wanting to make his way up, or certainly not ranking above Vader in this movie.
Yeah, if they can, honestly, I'm sorry, Nico, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, Vader lost the secret plans to the Death Star. So obviously after that happens, the Emperor is like, yeah, you know what? We got to watch you. You're not doing what you need to be doing. You're kind of fucking up here. And then that's why he's on Grand Moff Tarkin's leash.
Yeah, does Vader get written up for that? I mean, is there some progressive discipline thing that you've got to follow? When
that's his first strike.
Yeah.
This is why I really think the Grand Moff Tarkin character is an amazing character, because everyone else is in total and utter fear of Vader, and Tarkin's like, dude, what the hell, man? You lost the plans? You better fix this shit. And all Vader has to do is like, you talking back to me? I'll choke your ass. He chokes everybody. And it's like Tarkin's like, whatever. I basically run the show.
There was probably a conversation in front of, I mean, it was probably between the Emperor and Vader, and Tarkin was sitting there in a little chair, like, next to Vader, smugly, and the Emperor was like, Vader, you done fucked up. This is your new boss.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Vader's afraid of Palpatine, so if Palpatine says, Palpatine gets.
Well, there's that great line in A New Hope where he says, you know, he's barking at Vader, telling him to release, what's his face?
Yeah, the choking guy.
But Ozzel's Empire.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Release the hounds.
Sideburns McGee.
Yes, sideburns.
Well, let's see. This article, according to this article, we have also learned that droids will probably still be the comic relief. Although I don't know if I agree with that. I'm not so sure, because this droid that they is either K2SO or K250. Not
he
sure.
He seems pretty serious.
He does, and he's an Imperial turncoat. So it doesn't seem to me like he would be, you know, whining or crying like my best buddy 3PO does all the time.
No, I want to jump in on this. I actually watched a few episodes of Firefly. I'm watching Firefly again. And what's his name? Alan Tudyk?
Yeah.
Sure. He is awesome.
He's great in that show.
Yeah, he is so good in that show. And I can't wait to see how his voice acting, if they use his voice in there, I think it's going to be fantastic, because he's just got delivery down to a T, and worked well with that cast. If you haven't seen Firefly, definitely go check that out. It's one of the best sci-fi shows ever.
Yeah, he's doing the voice. According to the article, says he doesn't give a shit about what you think and doesn't fully check himself before he says things, which sounds like a recipe for laughs.
Awesome.
So,
I hope he talks about Rebel Scum. I love that phrase.
You rebel scum.
Rebel scum.
Okay, Sideburns McGee is Admiral Motti.
Motti.
Unbelievable. I can't believe.
He's an admiral?
He's an admiral. He's not a grand admiral. He's an admiral.
He's a whiny admiral.
Yes, he is.
First class, you know, privates.
Now I understand why Vader choked him.
they're all like hockey players. They are. It's all like Motti, Taggy. I mean, you know, it's they have that IE sound at the end of everybody's name, just like hockey players always do.
And some Motti. Baseball. Yeah, there's Admiral Ozzel as well.
Ozzy.
Ozzy.
See?
And for the record, his entire name is Admiral Conan Antonio Motti.
Conan Antonio. Wow.
Damn card games.
His parents hated him.
So we also learned that hardcore fans have met Forrest Whitaker's radical rebel character before. We know, talked about this last week, that his character Saw Gerrera is actually originated from the Clone Wars TV show. So that's pretty cool. And I guess that was it. Yeah. Good little article there. And then they also profile again on EW.com this time around. They released a second set of photos from Rogue One. It's at EW.com slash gallery slash Star Wars Rogue One more photos. Great picture of the Death Trooper there with fire behind him. I love that one.
And, is this that Bresnahan again reporting?
Yep. Anthony Bresnahan, he's the man.
He does fine work.
He sure does. He sure does. So, yeah.
Yeah, this latest round that came out here, these are all pretty spectacular, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, haven't seen him yet. What is his name? Bresniak?
Bresnahan.
Bresnahan?
Admiral Bresnahan.
He's getting some come San Diego Comic-Con. He needs to after all these scoops.
Yeah, he was the host of the Force Awakens panel at Celebration last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's been a reporter for EW.com for quite a while. He did a great spread on Steven Spielberg last week that was very fun too. So he's a great writer, Anthony Bresnahan at EW.com.
There you go, fangirls of Comic-Con. Hook this guy up with some action. Hey, I want to back out. I want to back up something here. You mentioned the Saw Gerrera character, Steve, and I didn't know if you were going to segue into this or not, but the possibility of other animated characters coming to the screen. I know we kind of briefly touched on that last week, but were we going to discuss any more of that?
Yeah, in fact, there's an interesting article that was just released yesterday about how, as Rebels is tying into Star Wars Episode 8, could we see Darth Maul return to the big screen?
I was hoping you'd go down this road. Yeah. That would be interesting.
I mean, that is canon now. Everything that happened in the Clone Wars is part of the canonical story, right? So,
actually, sorry, Steve, I thought you were done.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, to tie it all back together, if Darth Maul can still be alive, then Mace Windu is definitely alive.
Damn straight. I'm with you on that. Darth Maul can have a spider body and spider legs and turn into regular mechanical legs. Mace is alive and wandering the galaxy.
People, I'm the world's biggest movie fan, Kevin Hart.
Wait a minute. I'm the world's biggest movie fan.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. I guess Kevin Hart had to appear on the show. Internet. Sorry about that.
Damn it.
I am totally in agreement with you. How can we have Darth Maul return potentially and not have the man himself, Samuel Jackson, return to the big screen in Star Wars? Come on, you gotta do that. Gotta get that done.
Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson.
So apparently Darth Maul's character and his race or species has the ability to lose major parts of their body and survive. That was one of the reasonings that they gave somewhere along the line.
Is that what they ended up saying in Clone Wars?
I think it was somewhere around there, because at some point he's in Rebels too, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, he's not.
Maul? Yeah, Maul's not in Rebels.
Maybe
at least he wasn't in season one. I don't think he was in season two. I haven't watched season two yet, but I don't think he was in it.
Okay. Some article I was just reading, then, it must be something coming up. He's going to be introduced then in Rebels.
Well, I mean, his injuries were sustained by lightsabers. Very, you know, and even if they're blaster wounds, I mean, that's high heat energy wounds. If they're not, you know, major organs, heart, brain, lungs, anything like that, it's going to cauterize the wound immediately. I don't imagine anybody bleeding out from that. Right?
Right.
Well, he did get cut in half completely at the waist. I mean, you know.
That's below all the major organs. All right. Perfect.
Sure.
I mean.
Okay. Yeah, breaking news. Season 2 finale, apparently, Darth Maul did make a appearance in the season 2 finale of Star Wars Rebels.
Shit, I should have yelled quit. Sorry,
what is going on? What the hell is going on?
Are we having technical...
Hey, guys, Darth Maul's coming back.
I'm firing the producer of this show. Sorry. But, the producer. He's walking a tightrope tonight. But, he was in a couple episodes. He wasn't a character in the full season of Rebels in episode, or of season 2, but he did make an appearance.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I think if you can bring him back, I think the whole, the way they sold it in Star Wars: The Clone Wars was that he was so consumed by hate that the dark side somehow sealed him and brought all these components to him and sort of like...
It wasn't that lightsaber sealing him and cauterizing all his wounds? Are you sure about that?
Could have been that. But these spider legs that grew out of him were like sort of born of the dark side and the hate that was so raging in him. Something like that.
Because he when you first are introduced to him, it looks like a spider body.
Yeah.
And then at some point it gets... somebody goes in and like fixes him and creates the mechanical legs. So he actually has those kind of like Darth Vader type legs, which was actually a fascinating story in the Clone Wars. That was a great series. It really was. Unlike the crappy movie.
I'm a big fan of the series. I really enjoyed it, especially after, there were, I feel like I say this every episode we record here, but the first couple seasons are slow, and seasons 3, 4, 5, I mean, to me, seasons 3, 4, 5 really picked up, and that show came into its own, and it was, at the end, I loved it. I look forward to every week watching it and watching it with the kids. It was outstanding. Good stuff. Yeah.
It's on my list. Yep. It's on my list.
Well, we got a couple of additional stories here, guys, to cover this week. First off, there's been quite a bit of secrecy, of course, around every Star Wars movie, but in particular Episode 8, there's just very little information out there about Episode 8, and among the most highly kept secrets, it turns out, is Rey's hairdo.
What?
What?
Her little buns? Her buns that she has on her head?
Those tight little buns of hers?
And her hairdo, yeah.
You guys are sounding like me now. Woo!
Her hairdo is kind of reminiscent of a certain family member potential that we know in the galaxy of Star Wars. I have to say, every time you see her, she changes clothing, outfits, whatever, but she's always got those little row of buns across the back of her head.
Nico, are you talking about Padme here?
Could be... some sort of lineage, if we're talking about Padme.
I think so. I think you're correct. I always thought she had a very Padme look to her with the way those bun things are on the back of her head. So.
Well, she
Team clone. She was Team Clone.
She wanted to honor her father, who shaved his head by having a very ornate hairstyle herself. So I'm still going with Mace Windu.
It was determined last week, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, that she was made out of Adobe. She's a Kenobi.
She's a Kenobi Adobe.
Kenobi Adobe.
It's the most protein rich Adobe there is. Kenobi Adobe. But Daisy Ridley posted a workout video for herself. Looking very fit and strong and healthy and
one with the force.
It's tight, getting a little creepy here, Steve.
tight buns, I think, were mentioned earlier. But
excuse me, what? I'm gonna go check this out.
She's got her hair in a pillowcase, and she says that. She says ran to the gym between different setups, so wore a pillowcase on my head to protect my Rey hairstyle from Instagram's gaze.
Well, we all do that. I wear a pillowcase all the time.
I'm wearing a pillowcase right now.
No, that's your hate wish pillow you were. You're thinking of.
I wish you were, Greg.
Well, talking about hate pillows, Chewbacca mom is back in the news.
Oh, God. No.
And,
no.
You know, did you know Chewbacca mom's got 6 million YouTube hits? All right. When did she first hit the scene? How long has it been? About 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
That many months, Scott?
One.
her skit with James Corden last week had 14 million hits on the YouTubes.
Wow.
She's got 158 million views of that Facebook video.
Even Scott's dog hates Chewbacca mom.
And she's not done yet, folks. She's got her own action figure. She's appeared on TV multiple times. According to...
she has a role in upcoming Star Wars films.
Yeah, according to the president of the Chewbacca mom fan club, Scott Ivansky, she may be in the next Star Wars film. And on top of all that, she got to throw out the first pitch in the Texas Air Hogs Star Wars night baseball game recently. So she is not going anywhere, guys. We might as well get used to it. We're going to have a Chewbacca mom story on nearly every episode of the Wretched Hive podcast at this point.
You've clearly upset my animals, Steve. They are furious right now. They're fighting each other. See what this woman is doing to us? She's destroying America. She's not making America great again. She's destroying America.
Chewbacca mom for life.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria!
See, I have kind of a question for the show. I don't know if this is the appropriate time to bring it up, but have we considered making just kind of some bumper music for the Chewbacca mom news story of the week?
I think since you've thrown it out there, it is a foregone conclusion, a mathematical certainty.
I fucking love you guys.
About damn time.
There's my my contribution to the explicit language for tonight. Man. Thank you, Chewbacca mom.
Chewbacca mom will be the first force wielding Wookiee in the series. I predict that now. She will get lightsabers and Wookiees.
Is she gonna be like all those other cameos that we had in episode 7? You think just like covered up in you know makeup and costumes, where we're not even gonna see her, but she'll get a credit.
I think she'll be walking out of the space coals.
God damn it. You know, here's the thing with that. You know what she's going to be? She's going to be what Lucas did to all the original trilogies. When he started adding all of his special effects back in. Yes, I'm going off on a rant right now because Chewbacca mom has pissed off my animals. This is how it plays out.
Is there going to be a special edition where the Chewbacca mom blinks?
It's like throwing Boba Fett into the hangar with Han and Jabba, and he has to stop in front of the damn screen and look at you and basically wink under that helmet. This is the crap we have to deal with now.
Chewbacca mom shot first.
I just want to close out this segment by, I'll speak for Scott when we are talking about all this with Chewbacca mom. Here we go.
No.
It's the very lonely Luke tweet of the week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
Yes, it is just not fair. We have so much very lonely Luke. And I went back a couple weeks. We had the 4th of July, and I passed up, but I went back farther than the 4th of July to look up something just after Father's Day from June the 21st. This one says, I've taken thousands of showers. It didn't help. I still smell like that dead tauntaun. They really do smell worse on the inside.
Oh, Luke.
Oh, very lonely Luke.
He's got like 400,000 followers or something, right?
Oh, we do too, almost.
On the it's Twitter. More than us, so I haven't counted exactly.
Right. not by far. We're getting there.
I think we're approaching 150 likes on Facebook. That's exciting to see.
That is.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to make me look it up. So on Twitter and you can always go to our Twitter account.
Yeah.
Contact us, follow us, like us at @RetchHivePod. Right now we have 34 dedicated followers.
Wow.
Dedicated. 34.
Are we following Chewbacca Mom on Twitter?
Probably not. I don't follow.
Does Chewbacca Mom have a Twitter account? And that's a dumb question. Of course she does.
Let's see.
You're going to make me look this up, aren't you?
Chewbacca Mom. She's probably Candace Payne, though, unless she's changed her name to Chewbacca Mom. No, there's a Chewbacca Mom, and that person's name is Anthony.
Oh, well, that's not a blue check mark of authenticity, then.
Exactly.
We should make a fake Chewbacca Mom account.
Have Scott post everything from it.
She is at Candace Payne on Twitter.
Okay. All right. Follow her right now, Greg. Wretched Hive is following her.
Yes, we are, as of right now.
I hate you guys.
This is going to be the Very Lonely Chewbacca Mom tweet of the week. Hang on. What does she pay? She just retweets everything. She doesn't really pay. Let's see. Yeah, she doesn't really post anything. She just kind of retweets all kind of stuff.
So, Greg, let me get this straight. She doesn't put anything of substance out there in the world.
I finally found something, Scott. Go back to May 22nd. And this message, seriously, is just directed straight at you. Appreciate the simplest things in life. Chewbacca Mom.
I hate her so bad.
I think you need to get in touch with your inner Chewbacca Mom there. Mr. Ivansky.
I do all the time.
She's probably a very nice person.
No doubt about it.
Well, no matter what you think of Chewbacca Mom, love her, hate her, pity her, want to make out with her like Scott Ivansky does, you should call us and tell us about it. And you can... You can call us at on our hotline, 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. We'd love to hear from you. We'd also love you to follow us on iTunes. iTunes reviews are growing. I think we're up to 7, so we'd love to hear from you there. Search your iTunes app for the Wretched Hive podcast, and you will find us and leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. 5 stars, 1 star, any stars. We don't care. We just want to hear from you, our faithful listeners, and help spread the word. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. As Greg mentioned, you can follow us on Twitter @WretchHivePod. And you can also follow us on Podbean, another great podcasting service. It's WretchedHive.podbean.com. And we'd love to hear from you there, too. However you'd like to connect with us, we would like to connect with you back. So another show in the books, guys, episode 14. Any closing thoughts?
God, I love Chewbacca Mom. Brings such a joy to my life.
I'm excited. We didn't actually talk about this that much on the show, but I'm really excited about the possibility of a new trailer coming soon. And certainly with the amount of films coming out, I'm excited for it.
Next weekend.
We didn't talk about it at all. We have 10 days to celebration. We have like another 9. Week after that is Comic-Con. So there's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about in 2 weeks.
Ton.
And we're going to have it for you. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Until then, may the Force be with us all.
Always.